And welcome to another edition of the Cash Considerations Podcast. This is Jason Pat, as always, with Ricky O'Donnell. And there is a lot of shit going on with the Chicago Bulls right now. Historic losses by 56 points, leadership committees, mutinies, or if you'd like to call it a mutiny. I know some people were making those jokes. Just a lot of crap going on right now. Ricky just wrote a great column today over at Bloggable about how John Paxson should fire himself. So, Ricky, I guess I'll turn it over to you just to start. We can talk about your column and just like this whole general laughing stock that the Chicago Bulls are right now. So you talk about what you wrote today at Bloggable.com.
Yeah, Jason, great job on our objective being to swear less. We're swearing within 15 seconds of opening this episode. But fuck the Bulls. They're terrible. I know we went a little hard on the Fred Hoiberg podcast. Like, that was me and you at our worst. That was us being the worst versions of ourselves. But at the same time, I feel like we've only been more justified in how upset we were on that initial episode.
It's only gotten worse.
It's only gotten fucking worse. It's like, I've been ripping the Bulls for so long at this point, and that didn't always used to be the case. For people who have followed my work, you know, for the last decade or whatever, like, I used to be a really positive Bulls fan. I used to write the most glowing things about the Thibodeau-era teams, about D. Rose, about Joakim Noah, about Taj Gibson. That was a team that the city could really identify with, in a team that made us proud as Bulls fans. The problem is that ever since, you know, Rose tore his ACL, everything that's happened since, it's just been this entire franchise doubling down on every mistake they've ever made. And that's why we got so upset during the Hoiberg podcast. I had a lot of people like tweeting at me, bro, it's only Fred Hoiberg. Fred Hoiberg sucks. Why are you so upset? Imagine getting this upset about Fred Hoiberg. The thing is, it's not fucking about Fred Hoiberg.
Never about Fred Hoiberg.
I don't fucking care about Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg's doing fine. He's making 25, whatever. He's getting his full contract, another $5 million next year. Like, he's fine. It was never about just, like, Fred Hoiberg himself. Like, yeah, maybe he got a raw deal in terms of, like, the rosters. Yeah, but whatever. He was bad. He was not a very good NBA coach. Not about Fred. Continue.
The point is, it's the same bullshit over and over and over and over again, year after year. We're so far past the no swearing quota at this point, by the way, Jason. So let's just, we're going to push that till next week. Next week, we need to keep it real for the dad carpool listeners. Like, we're sorry about that. So sincere apologies on that.
Yeah, I guess, like, we might have to start these with like a parental warning or like parental guidance warning or adult content warning, I guess. I know, like, Binge Mode that I listen to and The Ringer, they always start every podcast that it's adult content. We might have to start doing that too if we're going to keep.
You know what? But this is just what the Bulls bring out of us. It's like, Bulls, you have no excuse to be so bad. And it all comes from the top down. And that's why, like, you can fire Hoiberg. You can blame the players for everything that's happened during this first week with Jim Boylan. But at the end of the day, it all starts with Jerry Reinsdorf, into Michael Reinsdorf, into John Paxson, into Gar Forman. And that's why I just had to light up Paxson today. Now, I'll admit, if anyone who remembers my season opening column, it was something like, the Bulls have no plan, no direction, no hope. I was dropping bombs on the Bulls preseason. Pretty much everything I wrote has totally come true. Not that I am bragging or taking any credit for that, because anyone with half a brain knew the Bulls were going to be dog shit this year. Internally, the Bulls themselves, sources say, thought that they were going to be very good. I think the Bulls were pretty confused as to
are you dropping some reporting on us right now?
Yes and no. But I think the Bulls internally thought they were going to be pretty good.
I feel like that. I mean, Paxson literally said at the end of last season, or whenever it was, maybe media day, that like he didn't want to go through another tank season. They did not want to go through this. And obviously, the injuries have played a part in it. But like, I'm pretty sure they wanted no part of tanking again, based on what they said.
Well, you know what the good thing is? They wanted no part of tanking the year they got D. Rose either. That year, they went from 49 wins to 49 losses. I wrote this in the lead of my column today. That was the year Paxson tried to quit. They ended up giving him a promotion. Gar Forman took over as GM. I think Gar won executive of the year the next season, which is
he in the 20 whatever the year they won 62 games. He won, and they deserved it. I know they missed out on whatever all the Heat guys, but like they rebounded well. Like getting Boozer was still good for those first few years. They built a great bench. Like they deserve all the credit there for those first few years. That was what eight years ago at this point.
It was like, also a different era of the league, and I'm not sure. I'm not going to say I'm not sure. I'm positive that these dopes cannot build a good team for this era of the league without a major blessing. And like that is kind of the whole thing that hangs over my column today, which is ripping John Paxson for being in charge for 15 years, for never accepting any bit of accountability. It's like, yes, Jerry Reinsdorf's never going to light a fire under your ass because he doesn't give a shit. How about like looking in the fucking mirror, John Paxson, and thinking about, what have I done to deserve this trust? What have I done to deserve this job, this title, this salary? You've done nothing. You gave me Andreas Nocioni. I'm very thankful for that. You made a really good trade for John Salmons back in the day. You drafted Joakim Noah over Spencer Hawes, praise the Lord. He's done some good things. I don't want to make it seem like John Paxson is like a total zero.
Took us out of the awful Floyd era. Like I've loved watching the Gordon Heinrich Dang teams. Like I know they never got over the top, whatever you want to call it. They obviously did not able to take the next step, but like they went from legitimate like dog shit, like I guess like they are right now. I mean, and even worse. I mean, those years were as bad as it gets after Jordan retired. Like that was just complete abomination. I remember, I think Casey was tweeting when they lost by 53 points back then, and like Fred Hoiberg was on the team. Like those teams were fucking terrible. And Paxson did some nice things as GM to at least build back up to at least respectability. But then, like again, they've never been able to take the next step. And obviously, in the last 5-6 years, it's been mostly garbage.
I have an announcement to make on this podcast, Jason.
Please do.
You know, my story, I just got a notification on my phone that it was liked by AJ Guyton, former Indiana star. Wow, AJ Guyton. I did tag Zach Levine in my reply tweet to the story there, so hopefully Zach reads it too. Even though I kind of ripped Zach, so I'm like, Paxson, resign Zach. Anyways, I like Zach. And I feel like the fact that Zach basically confronted Boylan, perhaps confronted Paxson and Foreman, like that just makes me like Zach so much more. Like Zach has obvious holes in his game, but like don't fucking tell Zach LaVine that he's not in shape. Don't tell Zach LaVine that he lacks toughness. Don't tell Zach LaVine he needs to spend his practice time doing fucking push-ups. Fuck you, Jim Boylan. And Boylan is such an extension of Paxson.
Yeah. Let's go into like I guess just exactly what's like caused this entire rip. And it's basically been the change to Boylan. They had the first game that Boylan had, they lost 96-90 to the Pacers. And we heard all like broadcasts about basically just like the rah-rah, like from the broadcast in the studio, just the rah-rah, look at the team's effort, it's so much better now, blah, 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 blah. Boylan puts them through all these practices with the suicides, and like you mentioned the push-ups, like that's like high school type practice stuff going on. And they come out and they have their best game of the year on Friday. They beat the Thunder, who had been rolling, one of the best teams in the league. Somehow they all play. It was a great team effort. And then comes the complete disaster. You lose by 56, you get booed off the court. Boylan talks about this big game about, I'm going to bench all my starters multiple times because I'm not going to play them at all because we're going to have a hard practice. And just like this whole just rah-rah act of his, it's almost just like, and it's kept going. Like even after all this drama with the team having this possible mutiny and the team getting together and thinking about not showing up and then showing up and then saying we're not practicing. And he's just got kept the whole rah-rah thing going and like putting out a bunch of bullshit. Like the stuff about where it's like, well, I wasn't actually going to have this practice. And this is why you guys need to trust me. When like he's on camera the night before after the Celtics game being, I wanted these guys to play less because I wanted them to practice hard. Like, he's just all over the place. And just the constant rah-rah stuff, the stuff about the Greg Popovich stuff has just irked the hell out of me. And that was in the reporting from the Yahoo article from Chris Haynes and Vinny Goodwill about how some player, I don't know if that was Levine, possibly, it was just like, dude, like, you're not Greg Popovich. Because Boylan brings it up all the time to the media. He did it again yesterday. It seems like he's done it to the players. And somebody told him reportedly, like, dude, you're not Greg Popovich. We're not those Spurs teams. Like, it's not, that shit's not going to fly here. And he's just got to chill out with it. Like, I'm not going to give up on the guy immediately after 1 week, but just like, he seems like he's trying so hard to be an anti-Hoiberg and like go into like the full old school pop persona that it's like, that shit just does not fly, especially in the NBA these days, in an era with players are taking more control of where they want to be. No players is going to want to be a part of this nonsense.
First of all, he's already lost the team. So yes, I'm ruling him out after 1 week. He never should have got the job in the first place. Jim Boylan sucks ass. No one should respect Jim Boylan at all. And the fact that part of the fan base is like, well, the players lost by 56. The players should not want to practice. First of all, no one in the NBA does this shit. Like, throwing a hard practice on a back, like, in the one day off when you have 3 games in 4 nights is ridiculous.
And after the hard practices earlier in the week, they basically had, a game on Tuesday, and then, like, I think multiple 2.5-hour practices the next 2 nights, and then the back-to-back. Like, just no. Like, just not going to happen. And then they get blown out by the Kings on Monday night after they lose by 30 in the second half. You have the Kings players, the fucking Kings, like the team that's been like the height of dysfunction the last. They're good this season. They're pretty solid this season, but you have Kings players clowning them and supposedly saying like, oh, get ready for another long practice, guys. Like, we got the Kings players clowning them right now. Like, that's how low this is.
Here's the key point in all this Boylan bullshit, though. It's like, Boylan is the reason they lost by 56, not the players. They were down 23 points, 21 at halftime. They play 3 minutes in the third quarter. They go down 5-3. Boylan pulls the starters for the remaining 21 minutes of the game. So they were only down 23 at that point, only down 23. I know. Yeah. Guess what? That did not need to be a 56-point loss. Yeah. The fact that that's a 56-point loss, that's on Jim Boylan's ugly fucking head. And Zach LaVine has every right to be mad about it. He said it after the game. He's like, it just sucks having to sit there and knowing that, you know, we could have done more. Like, I could have done more. Like, no one wants to be involved in the worst loss in franchise history. No one wants to be involved in the worst loss in NBA history for a home court team. That loss only happened because Boylan wouldn't put his best players back in the game. Boylan didn't put his best players back in the game so they could have a hard practice tomorrow. And the player said, you know what? Fuck you. You can't do this shit to us. We're calling the union, which was absolutely the right move. That's why the union exists. Boylan comes in, starts talking all this bullshit about Popovich. Guess what happened to Greg Popovich last year? Kawhi Leonard said, fuck you. I'm not playing for you. And now the Spurs have gone to shit because of it. It's a players' league. It's not this, you know, 1980s aesthetic that Boylan is trying to create under Paxson's guise with Reinsdorf's approval. All this stuff starts from the top down. Boylan is the projection of Paxson, who is only able to pull this shit off because Reinsdorf lets him. So that's the issue. Like, yes, it might look bad on paper for the players. To me, the players handled it the way they were supposed to. It's like, the Bulls starters would not have lost that game by 56 points. The Bulls starters have some pride in themselves. Jim Boylan doesn't have any pride in himself because he's never been in this position before, and because he doesn't deserve to be in the position of handling professionals when he's going to coach them like high school kids. All of this is just so completely ridiculous, and it just shines a light on how someone like Hoiberg never had a chance to succeed in the first place. We're probably going too light on Hoiberg. I would say that was my one criticism of our Hoiberg episode of the podcast. Like, Hoiberg sucked. I don't want to defend Fred Hoiberg. The fact that the Bulls are making us Fred Hoiberg apologists is the most damning shit in the entire world, from Paxson, from Foreman. So here's what the Bulls need to do. They need to move on from Paxson and Foreman. Until that happens, none of this is ever going to change. And now, think about all of the attention the Bulls have received just in the last couple days for this bullshit. There goes your 2020 plan. There goes your Anthony Davis hope to, you know, to sign him in free agency. No one's going to sign with this team because it's run like some junior varsity bullshit. it's never going to be an organization that values the players. My boy John Wilmes of the Take It or Break It podcast with Corbin Smith. John Wilmes tweeted last week that the Bulls have somehow treated Gar Foreman with more dignity than Michael Jordan.
Oh, God,
think about that for a second, because it's true. They've been more loyal to Gar than they were to MJ. That's the type of franchise this is. Jerry Reinsdorf does not give a shit about the Chicago Bulls. If you think that Reinsdorf was even a little bit perturbed while all this Boylan stuff was going down and the Bulls were the laughing stock of the NBA media, you're totally wrong. He did not get wrong. He cared that he was lobbying in front of that veterans committee or whatever to get Baines the vote. He doesn't care about the Bulls. All he wants the Bulls to do is make money. He told Michael Reinsdorf, his son, a long time ago, whatever you do, don't sell the Bulls. Yeah, because the Bulls are a cash cow that you have literally tarnished from a global brand to just some fucking mid-market NBA bullshit. So that's what I was trying to convey in my column today. It's like, Paxton, you tried to quit once already. You didn't because you got promoted. Quit now because you suck, and then call me on the phone so I can tell you you suck to your face. Because you're awful, John Paxson. And until he's gone, it's going to be the same bullshit over and over. Now, with that being said, Jason, what have we talked about on this podcast every single week? Well, if they get Zion, and that's the thing. If the Bulls win the lottery and they get Zion, suddenly Paxson's going to look okay. Because then everything falls into its place. And that's really the value of a superstar in the NBA. Now Zach LaVine's your secondary scorer. He doesn't need to handle the ball as much. Now Markkanen is spacing for a high IQ, big, powerful offensive initiator who can take anyone off the dribble. Now Wendell Carter's two-way game is elevating everyone else around him. But if they don't get Zion, Jason, they are going to be a disaster for the foreseeable future. And this all happened because Paxson was too much of a coward to try to build a good team around Jimmy Butler. So we can, you know, relitigate the Butler trade as much as we want, but it's going to continue to hang over this franchise as long as they're dog shit. And the Bulls can sit here and tell you, we won the Jimmy Butler trade. Look at what happened in Minnesota. We got Lauri Markkanen. We got Zach LaVine. Guess what, Bulls? You haven't won shit until you actually win something. To me, both teams lost that trade. The Bulls lost out on actually having a legitimately good team in the Eastern Conference. The Timberwolves, they at least made the playoffs. They did something, and then it all fell apart because they decided to give a bunch of money to Andrew Wiggins.
Although the Timberwolves have been playing better, like Robert Covington's good, Saric is pretty good. Like they're doing a little better for themselves. So, I mean, they're still probably pretty mostly happy.
Jason, I'm so worked up again, and I feel bad for swearing so much. And I'm sorry to all the dads out there driving their kids in the carpool, because you can't listen to the Cash Considerations podcast with children in the car. But Bulls, I want to love I'm a Bulls fan. I take no joy.
I don't want to be this negative.
People think that like me and you do this to like gain attention for
like hate clicks. Like, no, definitely not.
No, absolutely not. The problem is that no one in the mainstream media holds their feet to the fire the way they should.
I mean, I guess Cowley does.
Cowley, my boy. My boy Cowley does, no doubt about that.
I guess speaking of that, this is on top of all the other stuff that's been going on. Cowley wrote a column that came out Saturday, I think right before that Celtics game, or like right as the Celtics game was like starting or happening. And it was about Gar Foreman's role in Hoiberg's firing, and that apparently there was some sources about how a couple years ago, like, I guess Foreman was like meddling with the team, and like the players weren't happy with him. And I would assume the source is Jimmy Butler or someone around Jimmy Butler. I always just assumed that with
Kyle. It was obviously straight from Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. So it was like Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade were name dropped, and then like later it's like, oh, player sources said like this happened. And that, like, Gar wanted to fire Fred back then. He didn't, but then, so then he used now as, I have no idea, like, how true all this stuff is. But, like, there is a lot out there now. A lot of reports, a lot of
Gar's
talk
like, about
Gar being a snake. I mean, Jimmy Butler's, like, trainer said it after the trade. I mean, we've mentioned before how Derrick Rose talked about how made an offhand comment the other few weeks ago about how he doesn't have to deal with the Bulls front office anymore. I feel like just around the league, just people do not have a high opinion of Gar Foreman. He's just not liked at all.
Foreman should be fired immediately because he's already had most of the power stripped away from him.
Yeah, I don't even get. I don't think
he has much influence within the organization. He probably will get fired just to appease the fans. I honestly think that could happen.
I kind of think so too, because I had some arguments last week with people who like think, oh, like why should you change this for an office? Like, can you really do any better? And then I'll be like, well, like, what do you think about just like firing Gar Foreman? I feel like a lot of these people defend the front office, kind of do it because they like Paxson, because he won a title, he was part of the early dynasty years, like he did some nice things before. So I feel like a lot of fans, at least who defend the front office, are fans of Paxson. I haven't found anybody that is like a Gar Foreman supporter. So like I feel like
imagine the type of person. I mean, you would have to be, your wife would have to be best friends with his wife to be a Gar Foreman supporter. That's Michael Rastow.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like that definitely would be a move that I feel like that would at least make some sense and at least appease in some fashion. Like, obviously, I know you want full blown. Paxson needs to go now. He needs to fire himself. Honestly, I would probably lean more towards you, but I would kind of be appeased if at least. They firing Foreman, it's just like seems like there's just like nothing that can happen. We're just so accustomed to just no accountability that if there was at least some in the firing of Foreman, that and at least if like Paxson was like put on watch, where it's like, hey, if you like don't make the playoffs next year, like you got to go next too. Like, I'll absolutely take that. If there's like a mandate where Gar gets fired now and Paxson is basically on like his last leash, that would appease me. I would take that absolutely.
Yeah, you know, Paxson's got to go. Like,
that's ideally, they just clean house, right? They're a laughing stock. But, like, I will take anything at this point to at least get the ball rolling.
Gar's not enough for me. Gar's not enough. I mean, Gar has to go just so I don't have to look at his dumb fucking head. And then after that, Paxson needs to go right with him because Paxson has built probably the worst culture in the NBA. This side of the Dallas Mavericks, which is just on a whole nother level that even transcends sports. In terms of just basketball and just NBA stuff, I mean, you have so many incidents. Paxson should have got fired for choking Vinny Del Negro. Paxson should have got fired for playing an injured Luol Deng and Omer Asik. Paxson should have got fired for creating the entire locker room that led to the Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler versus Rajon Rondo feud. Paxson should have got fired for, you know, just the way they botched the Rose stuff, for everything, for the Bobby Portis punching Mirotić in the face. All of that is Bulls culture. Bulls culture is the most ass-backward shit in the entire world. And that's the culture that John Paxson created. He has said himself that he's the one who creates the culture. Well, guess what, bro? Your culture sucks. And no one likes your culture, besides for other old white guys who are still going to, you know, glorify the Kevin McHale era. So clean house. Get this team on the right foot for once. Maybe you could sign a free agent then. Instead, you're just going to blame Derrick Rose for not recruiting well enough. No, it's you. It's you, you asshole. Paxson sucks. I want Paxson to call me so we can talk about this. Like, men, me being a 31-year-old emo teenager and him being, you know, a guy who went to Notre Dame. Just call me John Paxson because you're trash. We don't respect you. We should have him on the podcast.
I'm sure he would totally indulge us after we've just basically trashed him we've been trashing him for years.
Yeah.
That's kind of tough to follow. I guess, like, I don't even, like, know, like, where the Bulls, like, even go from here now. Like, they're starting the leadership committee. Jim Boylan he's fired up. What was the exact terminology you used today? I'm juiced, man. I'm jacked up about it. Like I said, the guy's, like, almost just, like, a caricature of, like a meatball, like, coach, just the coachy McCoacherson, coachiest coach, like, there is. And it's just, like, it's been a weekend. It's just, like, I almost can't get enough of it. I'm honestly, like, I'm getting, like, fired up or, like, angry right now. But, like, some of it's just kind of hilarious. And I, like, kind of hope it keeps going lower. Like, I I said the other day that I feel like the whatever, like this weekend was rock bottom. Like, and what if it isn't? What if it just like keeps getting like lower and lower? Like, which again, like that could lead us to Zion Williamson, which is great. Which I feel like that's what we gotta hope for. Like, keep rock getting worse.
When they get the fifth pick in the draft, that's rock bottom, bro. And then they draft Romeo Langford or something.
Yeah, just keep getting worse. Keep losing. I mean, you just lost at home by 19 points to the Kings. You're 6-22. Like, they're going to Mexico now to play the Magic, who are like no good. But if you, and I mean, if they lose that game by against a mediocre whack Magic team, like 6-23, like I know they have some of their better players back, but that didn't matter yesterday. So like, I guess just keep losing at this point. Like, keep making an ass of yourself. Maybe that actually does spark some sort of embarrassment in the bowels of Jerry Reinsdorf, and something changes, and then the Bulls get Zion Williamson, maybe with an and with a new front office and everything, we can be happy again. Like, I don't know, but I just don't even know where they like how they rebound from this, where they go, what this leadership committee is going to do. Like, I mean, I don't even know, like, what even is that? Like, the leadership committee. Like I saw Cody Westerlund tweet something about this earlier about how, like, you want like leadership to like happen organically, guys step up on their own. But now, like, they're doing this thing, it just seems so fucking phony. Like, I don't know.
Sucks, dude. John Paxson sucks. He's made some good draft picks, which is the most important part of team building.
Yeah, like Lowry and Wendell. Like,
cuts it at every other opportunity. John Paxson sucks. Leave. Good. No one likes you. Just don't work for the Bulls anymore. Go spend time with your family. You made a lot of money. They can even keep you on payroll. I don't care. But he's not fit to run the Bulls anymore. And the only reason he even has a job is because Reinsdorf doesn't give a shit.
Right. Well, I can't even remember if you've mentioned this just now, but like you wrote in your column, like Paxson tried to quit in 2009, or like when Gar got the job, Paxson tried to quit and he ended up like getting a promotion out of it. Like, how does that even happen? Okay. Oh,
God, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Wild. I don't even know like what else to say. Like, I guess. Here's something. So obviously, like, it's been talked about how much LaVine played a role in seemingly this mutiny. And there was a report, I think, was this from the Yahoo one, wherever it was, the Yahoo one, the Athletic? There's been so much stuff out there that it was supposedly, like, a veteran that supposedly kind of got the ball rolling here. Do you think that was Justin Holiday? That was my guess.
There was the Ramona Shelburne video where she basically said it was Zach LaVine.
He was the one who like started the whole thing with like the because I think it was the Yahoo article said that a team veteran was the one who started like the text chain, and obviously LaVine was a big part of it, like no doubt about it. When they said veteran, I wouldn't really consider LaVine a veteran. I guess he has been, this is like his fifth season, but like I was thinking Holiday because Rolo was one of the guys that kind of got them to come in. So I thought maybe that veteran was Justin Holiday. It was Justin Holiday's a dude who's been playing his ass off, 35, 36 minutes a game. He's up there towards like the leaderboard and like what in minutes he runs around. Like he's definitely been busting his ass all year and like having arguably the best season of his career. So like I could definitely see him being a guy that would be mad. And if it was him, I expect him to be traded within a week or two. I've been calling for him to be traded for weeks now because a lot of teams could use him. There have been rumors out over the last like day or a couple days already that teams are checking in, but the Bulls aren't sure if they're going to trade him. I feel like it would not surprise me at all if Justin Holiday is traded very soon. But like, I don't know. Maybe it was him. Maybe it wasn't. Like, we don't know for sure. This is all speculation based on the reporting that's out there. But it's clear that Zach LaVine paid a big part. I'm guessing that Holiday might have as well. These two guys have been playing huge minutes. I know Lowry and Rolo stepped up. And it was nice to see Lowry, I guess, step up. And as funny as it would have been if they didn't show up to practice or if they did, like, the walk there and then, like, walk out, I guess it was nice to see Lowry show some leadership. Wendell Carter showed some leadership. Like the Bulls, like you mentioned, like the Bulls have some nice young players that Paxson has drafted with Lowry and with Wendell Carter. Nice future there, but just as a whole, like these guys might seem good and like have good leadership qualities, but in terms of like developing them and having like an actual winning culture, probably just not going to fucking happen with this current setup.
Go to my column and read the comment left by Running Man at 205. He said, I hate to be the one to bring this up, but something that clicked when I was reading your article, it's actually not surprising that Lowry and Robin were the most willing to give Boylan the benefit of the doubt and were maybe a bit less offended by his tactics. They're literally the only two non-black guys on the roster, except for Ryan Archie-Diacono, who who's going to go with the flow in his position just to be grateful to have made it. Like, I mean, we're not in the position to talk about that, but, like, you can't have a coach treating professionals this way. Like, of course these guys are going to look at this old white guy yelling at him and making him do push-ups and being like, fuck you. Like, why? What loyalty do we have to you? Like, why do you get to make the call on this? And it's just so sad, Jason, because it's a reflection of Paxson. It's a reflection of ownership. And it's just more proof that, you know, the Bulls can always sell their hope of we're going to sign Anthony Davis. No, you're fucking not, because you've never signed a good free agent. And why the fuck would Anthony Davis go to this fucked up franchise with these idiots running it? He'd be crazy.
Right.
He's going to go to the Lakers. He's going to go somewhere where it's not cold.
Go to Boston. Like,
God, they're idiots, Jason. They're idiots.
Idiots.
I'm just mad. Now you got me all worked up.
I got you fired up. I mean, what else are you supposed to do with this, just this madness? Like, it's the Bulls are, they're a laughing stock right now. Like, it's a simple matter. Like, there's columns being written all over the country. National writers, like my Twitter timeline is just everybody laughing at the Bulls. The Kings players are laughing at them. Like, everyone's laughing at them. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I just don't know how you can, like, see this. Like, I feel like these guys, Paxson, like, or Foreman, one of them, I feel like they need to, like, address this maybe. Like, I know they're, I guess they're obviously, they were, it seems like they've been a part of these meetings, which, like, I'm not sure how you feel about that. Like, how they were part of, like, the team meeting on Sunday. Like, I feel like, I don't know if that should really be a thing. And if they were, like, maybe come out and address what's going on here. Like, not that it's going to matter to us. Like, we'll still rip on them anyways. But, like there's all this stuff. Your like, French organization is crumbling. You're a laughing stock. And you're just, like, sitting there and, like, letting Jim Boylan, like, take all – get bombed, like, basically shoot himself in the foot every time he opens his mouth. Like, I don't know. I just don't know what else to really say. Like, it's just a hot mess.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't even know what else to say. Like I said, they got a game coming up against in Mexico City against the Magic on Thursday, so they have a couple days off because of the travel and all that stuff. They're gonna have a team dinner, I think they said tonight. Build that. Maybe they're gonna pick a leader of the leadership committee or that. Get that rolling. Besides that, no. I mean, it's what really it is right now. The Bulls have a ton of drama. They're bad. They're getting their ass kicked. I have no idea how they won that Thunder game. That might be maybe the most, like, outrageous win of the season. So I know there have been a couple other big upsets, but, like, I don't know how they ended up pulling that game out of their ass. I think the Thunder probably just – they played like crap at the end of a road trip and had no interest and were just bad. And the Bulls had – the Bulls had lost, like, seven in a row. So I guess they were due for a lucky win. But, I mean, it's just all bad right now. And that might not be – in the long term, being all this bad and all this shitty, maybe it turns out to not be the worst thing if there's actual accountability and changes made. But right now it's just not a good thing. And if it keeps going like this, we're going to keep bringing the fire in the future. So I guess swearing and a bunch of hating in the future. I guess if it's going to keep going like this,
just hate.
I hate you. I hate you. I really hate you. Like, just hate. Play a haters club, Bulls edition.
But it's going to get better is the problem. And then
it will. They're
just
getting.
They have their good players back. It's going to get better. Markkanen's back. He's balling out a little bit. Dunn, while he still has, there's a lot of questions about Chris Dunn still. Like, there's no doubt he's a major.
He's not Cameron Payne.
For the point guards already on the roster. Portis, I thought was primed for a huge year before he ended up getting hurt. So you know, just with those guys coming back, the Bulls will be better. I would be surprised if they are any worse than the fourth worst team in the league. I think Atlanta's worse. I think the Suns are worse. I think the Knicks are probably worse.
Tristan Thompson's now going to be out like a month. Like,
it's the worst for sure. So,
yeah, the Suns are. I mean, you talk about dysfunction. I think Andrew Sharp wrote a column today at Sports Illustrated, just kind of putting the Bulls and Suns together about they're just. Basically pits of despair, and the Suns are like just as big of a joke as the Bulls are. Like, those two are basically just like the height of dysfunction, and that's I haven't read the column yet. I was going to he ties in just the ownership thing. Like, it all goes up to the ownership. Robert Sarver's a terrible owner in Phoenix. The ownership has been an issue here. because nothing's changed at the top. So it all starts at the top and goes down. The Suns, they're like 4-23 maybe. Devin Booker's hurt. They've been drafting in the top five, top 10 for years, and they haven't gone anywhere. Like, I guess Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton like got into a heated exchange recently. So like they're just as big of a mess. So yeah, the Suns are definitely a team that's going to be worse. Like you mentioned, the Hawks are definitely worse, and I feel like the Cavs will be worse too. The Bulls probably are staring at 4 or 5. I've been thinking about how many wins they. I mean, right now they're what, 16 under .500, right? Were they 6-22? I mean, I guess you hope that they go like maybe 10 games under .500 the rest of the way. That might even be worse than they should be. I mean, that'd be 26 under, which would be like 28 wins. I don't know where that really put them. That probably would put them in about that similar spot. So I guess you just got to hope that whatever. See, these other teams win some lucky games. The Bulls, I don't want them to like. I both do want them to suck, but I also like don't want like the core to look so shitty that there's really no hope. Like maybe there's just like you don't like anybody in this core. You just want them to get this legit superstar, Zion Williamson, and basically just go with him and maybe one or two of these other parts. And that's fine, but like I would like to see some of these guys like play well together, I guess, but I just don't want them to win. So it's like it's almost kind of tough at this point where like I want them to look awful, I want everything to be terrible, but I do also kind of want some of these guys to look good together because I do like some of these players. So like it's back and forth there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we talk about tanking, it's like it's not like the players are gonna go out there and try to lose. Like right. Zach Levine's a competitive motherfucker, so is Lauri Markkanen. Wendell Carter's too smart for that. They're going to go out there and try to win, but, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the front office. Don't blame the players. Don't blame the coach. It's literally all on Reinsdorf because there's only so much you can give Reinsdorf, who's in his 80s and who's not going anywhere right now. It falls to Paxson. It's like Paxson is the guy who Reinsdorf has handpicked to run the shit show. How good was that Reinsdorf quote that I found from 2009 when Paxson tried to quit the first time? Reinsdorf said in an interview, "I have no doubt that this is not John Paxson's fault. I have tremendous faith in John Paxson," or some bullshit like that. Yeah, man. That's it.
Yeah, I guess that's about all I got right now. Like, it'll be interesting to see where this goes from here. It feels like it can't get lower, but maybe it does. Like you said, it feels like they should play better with these young players, but maybe it gets somehow worse. Because I don't if Boylan truly like has lost them like already, and they like don't, and they just basically quit on him. Like, I guess it could get worse, even if they are like decent players and they have their better players back. If they just flat out just don't want to play for him, like. Maybe it does get worse. I don't know.
Yep. You know, man, this is our life as Bulls fans.
Yes, we'll see. We will see.
Who they got next? What's on the upcoming schedule?
Like I said, Magic on Thursday. Let me see who will come after that. One second here. Schedule. Thursday, Magic. And then they go, okay, so probably two losses after that. Saturday, they go at San Antonio, at Oklahoma City, and then they'll have a stretch where they can win some games. They got home against the Nets, home against the Magic, at Cleveland. Like, that's a week where they could win three games in a row, potentially. Like, will they actually do it? Who knows? But, like, if they lose to the Magic, and they're probably looking at 6-25 going into that stretch of games where they could probably win a bunch of them. So I guess probably just kind of hope for that, and then maybe they'll start playing a little better. They'll get in a little more rhythm with the guys healthy. But, yeah, it doesn't really get much easier over the next week or so until the following week. So I guess we'll see.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Well, do you got anything else, or are we good?
I got nothing to say. I said right. My piece.
Yeah, you said your piece, and what a piece it was. So definitely go check out Ricky's column about John Paxson firing himself, bloggable.com. It is 1,500 words of straight fire. Please listen to Cash Considerations podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you want. So yeah, this was the Cash Considerations podcast from Jason. This is Ricky. Have a good one, guys.